All right, morning. Today's Daf and Chulin is Daf Mem. We are on the bottom of Lama Testament base. We just have a little bit more to cover before we get to the new Mishnah. The Gemara yesterday brought down a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, going back to the Mishnah all the way back on Lama Testament base. If you shecht le'avodes kochavim, you say you shecht on behalf of a goy, meaning so it's not your animal, it's a goy's animal, and he asks you to shecht, you shecht it. So can he inject his machshava of avodah zarah into the animal? So this was a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. There are three opinions in the Mishnah going back to Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi employed a kal v'chomer, and Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer disagreed exactly what the parameters of the machlokus was. So if you go back to yesterday's daf, we're not going to go over everything, but we'll go over the very basics. Rabbi Yossi taught us that, based on a kal v'chomer, so there is absolutely no opportunity for an injection of a machshava from the non-oved, or the non-shochet, meaning the only one who is machshava significant is going to be the one who shechs the animal. That's it, according to Rav Yossi. Nobody else can infuse any kind of machshava into the animal, even if the animal doesn't belong to the shochet. As long as the shochet is the one doing the shechita, it's his machshava and only his machshava, which is going to inject any kind of intent into the carbon. Or in this case, not carbon, but in this case, chulin. So that means to say that according to Rav Yossi, so the owner of the animal could be a very religious idolater. And every single time the animal gets shechted, his own animal gets shechted, he's thinking this is going to be for avodah zarah. But according to Rav Yossi, if he's not the shochet, the animal will be totally unaffected by his intent and his machshava. What about the opinions of the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer? Well, Rabbi Eliezer actually is a lot easier to describe. Rabbi Eliezer says that the animal is aser. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, as the Gemara in yesterday's daf explained, he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, who says that even the mefagel, even habalim mispaglim, even the owner can create a machshava of pigel. In other words, in a karban, when you have a pigel machshava which could disqualify a karban, so that machshava of pigel certainly can be had by the kohen. According to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, it could also be had by the owner as well. Take that idea. Take it out of the world of Karbanos, move it over into the world of Chulin, and Rabbi Eliezer says the same thing is true regarding a Shechitas Chulin. When you have a Shechitas Chulin, not only can the Shochet have a Kavana, which would upset the animal, but so too would the owner as well. According to Rabbi Eliezer, as long as you have a guy owning the animal, even if he's not the Shochet, if he's thinking how this animal is going to be La Avodah Zarah, so it's going to be for Avodah Zarah, even though he's not the one who did the Shechita. Continues in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, the Chiddush goes even stronger. Let's say he's not the sole proprietor, he's not the only owner of the animal. Let's say he only owns shares in the animal. Doesn't matter. As long as he has some ownership in the animal, so then his machshava in the animal will be effective, even though he's not the one doing the act of shechita. Where does the Tanakama lie in all this? Tanakama is somewhere in the middle. And if you go back to yesterday's daf, you remember there were two ways of understanding the opinion of the Tanakama immediately after the Mishnah. But anyway, but we're not going to review the Tanakama right now. The two positions that we need to remember right now, that of Rav Yossi and that of Rabbi Eliezer, they really exist on the extreme. According to Rav Yossi, the owner of the animal can have no impact whatsoever on the Shechita. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the owner of the animal can have every impact on the animal, even though he's not the one doing the Shechita. On that, we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday in the Gemara, on Lamed Testament Beis. I'm Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. First word in the line is Savar Ki Lo Asu Liyade Amaya Saveach. The Gemara picks it up. I'm Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Alach Ki Rav Yossi. Okay, so the first thing that we get is Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel telling us that the Alach falls like Rav Yossi, even though he's argued by Rabbi Eliezer and he's argued by the Chachamim. By the Tanakam of the Mishnah, but still the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Okay, Hainu Tai Dasale Tzikunya. There were a number of Yishmaelim who went to Tzikunya. Fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi writes, all I have to do is just find it. Second white line in Rashi, Taya Yishmaelim ve'inam ochlim esther baster shchuta. So Rashi over here says that as far as the Yishmaelim are concerned, so they insist only on eating baster shchuta. Ve'afilu himesa me'ala ha'shochet asol la'okhla ve'chein darkan. Even if the animal dies on its own, says Rashi, minag Yishmaelim. I'm not describing modern minag Yishmaelim, but Rashi, right, we're going back a short 800 years ago. Rashi says that even if the animal died on its own, So what the minhag is amongst the Yishmaelim is that they would still shech the animal and you're good to go. And you're allowed to eat it. As long as shechita is done, before or after the animal dies. Okay. Super fascinating Rashi. Okay. Anyway, so the halachi Rav Yehani Tayyid the Asal of Sikunya. So there was the Yishmaelim, these Arabs who went to Sikunya. Yaiv Dichrei, the Tavche Yisrael. And so they had a ram and they handed it over to the Shochtim who were Jewish. And Amr Lahu, Dama Vatarba Lididan, Mashra Bisra Lididchu. So here's the story. You can keep the hide of the animal and the meat of the animal. We want the blood and the chalev and the fat of the animal. Now, everyone want to take a guess? Why it is that they want to retain the blood and the fat of the animal? So they want to use it for avodah zarah. So Shachar Rav Tovia Bar Rav, Masla Kamid Rav Yosef Kai Gav Namai. So Shachar Hachem Rav Yehuda Mashmal Lachigar Rav Yosef. So what would be the halacha under the circumstances? And the answer, a very definitive answer. The halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Since we know the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, so once again, whose kavana is most important? And when I say most important, the only kavana that's regarded, and that's going to be only that of the shochet. So as long as the shochet has no idolatrous thoughts while shechting the animal, so then we're fine. The owner of the animal, could not be any clearer. Oh, he could be a little bit clearer. But it's hard for this particular case for the owner to be any clearer in terms of what his kavana was. He certainly wants the animal for avodah zarah. Doesn't matter. The shochet's action and his kavana are the only ones that are regarded. Therefore, the animal is totally mutar. So it would be totally fine. Rav Huna Bered Rav Avya. Sorry, I missed two important words. Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Avya Le Rav Ashi Le Rebbe Eliezer. So let's now go back to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. A really interesting Gemara because the Gemara just passed like Rav Yossi. Very clearly the Gemara passed like Rav Yossi. And this is, I guess this would fall under the category of Torah Lishma. Meaning it's still Limud, meaning the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is still a chelik of Torah, just not the halacha. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, now let's remind ourselves, what is the halacha according to Rabbi Eliezer? That the owner's machshava is going to take effect. So that means to say, even though the owner is not the shochet, but if the owner has a machshava during the Shechita, so that is going to be impactful. Furthermore, as we learn back in the Mishnah, he doesn't even have to own the entire animal, even if he just owns the chelik of the animal. Back in the Mishnah, we described just the chatzar akaved, the courtyard of the liver. The courtyard of the liver is a euphemism for the diaphragm. Even if the guy owns just a small part of the animal, doesn't matter, he's still going to have an impactful machshava on the animal. And if he thinks for avodah zarah, then the animal's going to be for avodah zarah. Good, that's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which we've just concluded is not the halacha, but still, according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, Yayiv le zuzi le tabach yisrael mai. Let's say the following, animal's not yet shechted. He doesn't own the animal, or an animal's owned by a Jew, but he'd like to buy a portion of the animal. So what he does is, before the animal's shechted, he goes over to the Jew and says, hi, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to buy a piece of the animal. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to prepay. So that now I'm going to be owning part of the animal. Now, after you shech the animal, you cut it up, and I'll get a piece of the animal. But in other words, at this point in time now, he declares himself, not just declares, but with money, he makes himself a partner in the animal. So now we know that according to Rav Yossi, even if he does become a partner in the animal, so what? It's not going to impact the Shechita. And whatever machshava he has is not going to be impactful. But again, we're not focusing on Rav Yossi right now. We're focusing on Rabbi Eliezer. So now he makes himself a partner prior to the Shechita. And now what? So what would be the halacha? What's the consideration over here? Well, it's very simple, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now that he's a partner, so if he has a machshava during the Shechita, so now doesn't he have the ability to infuse his intent, if it's for avodah zarah, into the animal, rendering the animal now a takrovas avodah zarah? Ostensibly, the answer is yes. What would be the other side to the issue? Well, the other side to the issue is as follows. Well, look, right now, quite frankly, I don't want the animal to become a avodah zarah. It's my animal. I don't want to become a avodah zarah. You want to buy part of the animal? I could just have easily not taken the money now. I could have taken the money later, meaning after the Shechita. Then, of course, you wouldn't have, your machshava wouldn't have affected me at all. So maybe what we can argue is as follows. Even though I'm accepting the money now, but like I'm accepting the money almost like on a limited basis or on a very regulated basis. Meaning, yes, I'm going to take your money, and yes, you'll buy part of the animal, but not for the purposes of Shechita, meaning maybe I could just simply delay the effect of the kinyan until after I shech the animal, and so that way your machshava won't play a role during the shechita. Maybe that's the way we could look at it. And the Gemara considers that's absolutely a possibility.
Why is it considered the dafka a shutter? Why not like a customer? He's a customer. Like I'm going to the store.
And I'm getting, okay.
So I'm not really a shutter. I'm buying a piece of meat.
Okay, but when he gives him the money, though, what is being coined at that point in time?
Nothing. If I go to a store and I give in advance the money, and I say I want a piece of meat, yeah. I become a shutter or I'm a customer.
Well, I don't understand. I understand what you're saying, but what is that distinction, though?
That if you're a customer, you're not. You have no.
You don't own anything.
You don't own anything.
Okay. So what? Well, watch what happens now in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Yaiv Zuzil Tafik Yisrael Mai Amar Lei Chazinan," and to which the Gemara says, basically, we're going to have to now see the following: Einish Amahu Delamati Mitchulei Aser. Let's say the customer over here is somebody who you don't play around with. We're talking not about the owner. We're talking about the guy who gave the money, in this case, the guy. So if he gives money and he's what the Gemara describes as an inishalma. Inishalma means a really strong person. Where at this point in time, once he's given the money, there is no substitution. He gave you the money. He's expecting a piece of this particular animal. So say hello to your new partner. Meaning he's now a shutev. As such, so now that he's a partner and it's prior to the shechita, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, his machshava is going to affect the shechita. However, the ilo amrle reshach vahar. However, if the person himself is not such a strong person, and even though he gave you the money, if you could say to him before, during, or even after the shechita, you know what? I considered the prepayment that you gave me, and I also considered that, quite frankly, I don't want to sell it to you. You know, but I'm not going to steal from you. Meaning, here's what I'll do: I'll give you your money. And the Gemara's expression reshach vahar. So Rashi explains the old expression, the old Aramaic expression of reshach vahar, hare roshcha, Rashi, vare har, makazel zeh. So here's your head and here's the mountain, and just go knock the two one against the other. In other words, knock yourself out, right? But here's the money. So in other words, basically, the way the Gemara frames it, it depends on when he's giving you the money, what kind of umdana, what kind of understanding is there between the prepayer and the owner. In other words, if the kind of understanding is that when the prepayer is paying, giving the money in advance, he now is getting a piece of that meat. There is no substitution. There's no refund. I am getting a piece of the meat. So now he is halachically viewed as a partner. As such, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he can now insert machshava into the shechita. Masha'en ken, when he prepays, it is just simply a suggestion. It's a consideration, meaning, okay, maybe I'll give you a piece of this meat, but maybe I'll just give you your money back. Under those circumstances, he is not a shutav. Rashi does not explain it the way I just did. Rashi seems to be giving a slightly different explanation. Rashi, if you take a look at the last Rashi right before the Mishnah, we're not going to start in the beginning of the Rashi, but we'll go about halfway through the Rashi. Eina nase shlucho al karcho. Right, Rashi, three lines from the very bottom of the Amud. In other words, what you can't do, assuming that the person is not an inish alma, it's not a very strong person, is that I can't make you a shliach against your will. In other words, under the circumstances in which the owner of the animal could just simply say, look, I want to refund your money. So, now if you want, you can also give him meat as well. Now, Rashi is bothered by the following. I don't understand. How does transactions work regarding a guy? Money. Meaning, by a Jew, how do transactions work? Meshicha. Meshicha. But how do transactions work by a guy? Money. The guy paid the money. If you're not refunding the money, and he's being kona, when was he kona? When he gave you the money, which was prior to the shechita. But Rashi says, but that doesn't bother me. V'yesh lo chelek ba, miyo yisrael kishachet, misalik leila ove kocham ve'eno nasa shlucha. But still, as long as there's a possibility for a refund, so that means that during the shechita, what the Jew could basically do is push away the guy. Not physically, obviously. Halachically, push away the guy. if the person's not an inish alma, if he's not a strong person, so what the owner of the animal could do is say, look, we're not partners. I could refund you. It's true, the kinyan that you're going to make is going to go retroactive back to the time when you gave him the money. That part's true. But at least during the shechita, I can halachically move you to the side so that this is my animal to the exclusion of you. Because even though we're quote-unquote partners, it's a loose partnership. It's not the kind of partnership that's going to affect me and my shechita while I'm shechting the animal. I will decide afterwards if, in fact, I want to give you a piece or if I want to refund you the money. And yes, it may be true it's going to go retroactive to the time of the time that you gave me the money, but it's not going to affect me while I'm shechting the animal. Okay. So certainly a slightly more difficult way to explain what's going on, but that's how Rashi says it. Okay. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Testament base. And for here until the rest of today's daf, tomorrow's daf as well, as we now round out the second parak of Chulin and the halachas of Shechita, so it's going to be a lot of discussion of Avodah Zarah. Our Gemaras and the Gemaras in Avodah Zarah are going to fold one over the other, where basically we're going to turn on the question of when I shecht an animal for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, what becomes of that animal? Most of the time, what happens to the animal is the animal now is takrovis Avodah Zarah. It is now something that was used as service for the Avodah Zarah. It was actually an item that was offered for the Avodah Zarah. Takrovis of Avodah Zarah, also referred to as Zivchei Mesim, is not only Aser Ba'achila, it's Aser Ba'anah. It's a Cheftza Shel Avodah Zarah. It's Aser Ba'hana'a. So the only thing you can do is just simply discard it. Discard it in a way that no one's going to be getting any kind of benefit from it. And that's it. And so under most circumstances, the animal becomes Takrovis Avodah Zarah. And so with that in mind, let's start our Mishnah. Let's see. Hashoch L'Shem, Harn L'Shem, Gvas L'Shem, Yam L'Shem, Na'arz L'Shem, Midbar Shechitas L'Psula. If I shecht an animal for a mountain, meaning you decide that you're going to pick up idol worship, but not just any idol worship, that mountain is going to be serving as your god, lowercase g, or a hill, or a stream, or a particular midbar, whatever natural event you're looking at right now, or natural phenomena, that is going to become your god, and you're shechting the animal for that. So the shechita is going to be a shechita psula, it's not going to be a good shechita. Now a careful reading of the Mishnah, shechita psula, which seems to indicate that it's not takrovis avodah zarah, it just happens to be that the shechita is no good, and you can't eat the animal. Sounds like from the Mishnah is not aser ba'anah. Now what I just said is correct pshat in the Mishnah, but of course that doesn't make it, at this point, that doesn't make any sense. Meaning if I'm shechting the animal for a god, so why doesn't the animal become takrovis avodah zarah and something which is aser Behana'a. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to give an answer. Shnaim, as we turn now to the top of Mem Amud Aleph, Ochsim Besachim V'Shochtin Echel Hashem Echel V'Mekol Eilu V'Echel Hashem Davar Kasher Shechitas Apsula. Two people holding a knife. Now, the Shnaim Ochsim Besachim, you remember, this is not the first time that we dealt with this construct of two people holding a knife. Could be two people holding one knife, could be two people holding two knives, each one of them doing an act of Shechita. But anyway, but let's assume right now, as Rashi explains, that on our Mishnah, that two people are holding one knife. Two people are holding one knife, and each one of them is infusing a machshava. One is a machshava kshera, meaning, what's my machshava when I shech this animal? Dinner tonight. That's a good machshava. So that's good. The other one is saying, this is going to be for Avodah Zarah. So what happens now when I have two people holding one knife, and each one of them having a machshava? One a machshava kshera, and the other one a machshava psula. The Mishnah says very clearly, the shechita would be a shechita psula. You can't disregard the machshava of the person who's over the Avodah Zarah. Question?
Do they verbalize?
You have to verbalize. Otherwise, what do we? We don't know. Okay. Now, psula in zivchei mesim lo. Now, the Gemara right away jumps on the Mishnah because the Mishnah, as I already explained, but the Gemara here is now spelling it out, the Mishnah seems to be a little bit short from the mark. What's the mark? If you are shechting an animal for a mountain or any other natural phenomena, treating it like a god, treating this animal like takrovis avodah zarah, so what should the shechita be? Should be zivchei mesim, aser ba'anah. The Mishnah only here talking in terms of the shechita's psula, you know, the shechita's disqualified. It's seemingly more than disqualified. And why wouldn't the Mishnah say that? Why wouldn't the Mishnah use terminology like zivchei mesim? Urim enu. And in fact, let's now look at another brisa And the contrast is very clear. Hashoch l'shem harim, l'shem gavos, l'shem naros, l'shem medbaros, l'shem chama levana. Now in this brisa, we are talking about shechting and treating things as gods. We start off with the same list that we had in our Mishnah, but then the list goes on. Let's say you decide that the sun is going to be your god, or the moon is going to be your god. L'shem kochavim amazalos, or you're going to look at the constellations, or you're going to look at the stars. So l'shem michal hasar hagadol, l'shem shil shokatan, or you're going to have some sort of spiritual entity serving as your god. Or shil shokatan. Shil shokatan is a small little worm. Could be that we're talking about the worm. Could be we're talking about the spiritual counterpart of the worm. Whatever the case is, you're picking up avodah zarah, and you're picking up an animal and shechting it towards that avodah zarah. Hare elu zivchei mesim. So the Braisa says it with clarity that the animal that you just shechted is takrovas avodah zarah, which means that the animal is aser b'achila, aser b'hana. It's a now. It has a status of avodah zarah, as which it must be discarded, period. Now, the contrast is very clear. In our Mishnah, we said that the shechita is psula, the shechita is no good. As far as the animal is concerned, it doesn't sound like it's much regarding, from the perspective of the Mishnah. The Mishnah just simply says the shechita is no good. The animal is, you can't eat the animal because the shechita was no good. But the animal is not aser b'hana. And meanwhile, the Braisa says with clarity that the animal, that the shechita is in fact a, not only a shechita psula, it's zivchei mesim, it's mamish, takrovas avodah zarah. So what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa? And same question, just slightly, just a different perspective. Why wouldn't the Mishnah say zivchei mesim, which seemingly is the correct ruling? So Amar Abaye lokasha hadamar lahar hadamar legada dahar. So Abaye here gives a fundamental distinction, and that is as follows. Depends what you're worshipping. Are you worshipping the mountain, or are you worshipping the god of the mountain? I say god over here, lowercase g. The mountain or the god of the mountain, right? In fact, it's interesting. In the Aramaic, you actually hear the same word, right? Gada dahar, right? Are we worshipping the mountain or the god of the mountain? What's the difference? So Rashi over here reminds us of a number of gemaras that we learned back in Avodah Zarah. You can see Rashi inside. Rashi, damar l'shem har. Har eino nasa avodas kocham dechziv Eloheim al ha'arim, velo ha'arim Eloheim. A drasha that we quoted numerous times back in Avodah Zarah, the drasha is understood as follows. A mountain cannot become a god. Meaning, you can worship the mountain and, to be clear, we said this back in Avodah Zarah very clearly, you can worship the mountain and the act of worshiping is an act of Avodah Zarah. But the mountain itself does not have a status, does not get a status of Avodah Zarah. It cannot, it is mechuba lakarka, and as such, cannot become a status of Avodah Zarah. Hilkach l'shman, one second, hilkach l'shman l'mikra zivchei mesim. So, if I'm shechting an animal for the Avodah Zarah, so now, you the shochet, so you may be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay? In other words, let's not take away from the fact that you're right now attempting to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. But in terms of the effects, the mountain is not a, does not become an Avodah Zarah. The animal shechted to the mountain also does not become an avodah zarah. So then, if that's true, so then why not eat the animal? So, but Rashi over here explains because this looks really close to avodah zarah, meaning you're attempting to be over avodah zarah. Okay, so from a technical standpoint, the mountain's mechubal karka, and mechubal karka doesn't become avodah zarah, and neither does the animal, which is shechted for the mountain, which is mechubal karka. But when all said and done, what is the observer seeing? Hey, you're trying out idolatry. So as a din derabanan, so the chachamim said that the shechita is not a good shechita. But may ikar hadin, according to din daraisa, the shechita in of itself is not takrovis avodah zarah. In terms of the Gzera Derabanan, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf a similar idea when it comes to Kachim Bechutz, even though it's not technically Kachim Bechutz, but nevertheless, because it looks like it, so the Chachamim made a Gzera here as well. Masha'en Kain, if you're not shechting the animal to the mountain, but rather to the god of the mountain, so not only were you an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but the animal that was offered for the god of the mountain is in fact Takrovis Avodah Zarah, which is therefore going to be Zivchei Mesim. Okay, it is a fine distinction, admittedly, but it's an important one, it's a fundamental one. a mountain or anything which is mechubal lakarka, mountains, streams, valleys, all the things listed in the Mishnah. So since they are not mamish avodah zarah, they can't become avodah zarah, the animal offered for them is not zivchei mesim, it's not takrovas avodah zarah, but just based on a din derabanan, the shechita is not going to be a kasher shechita. The Gemara says, in fact, once you read the Mishnah carefully and the Braisa carefully, you'll see that the distinction we just made is absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, Dekanami Diktani, look carefully back at the Braisa we just read together. In the Braisa we just read together, so a number of things were listed, including Michal Sahar Gadol, meaning we're talking about some sort of spiritual entity. So that means to say that you're not shechting to the item itself, but the spiritual force behind that item, meaning you are picking that up as a god, and you are deciding, you are determining that it in fact is going to be your god, lowercase g, and so therefore that is an act of avodah zarah. Okay, adkan. I'm Rav Huna. Okay, and so from here now going forward, more halachas regarding takrovas avodah zarah. So we start off with a statement of Rav Huna, and it's as follows. Now, let's say you don't have an animal, your friend has an animal, so it is not yours, and you do not have bailus on it. That's important. Hold that point very closely. Now, Rav Huna says, if you go over and you were to shecht that animal, and when we say shecht the animal, we don't even mean a complete shechita. All you need to do is just shecht one of the simanim, and then it's going to be asur, then it's going to be forbidden. Now, the Gemara takes Rav Huna's statement and puts it together with a statement made by Ula, who said in the name of Rav Yochanan. And the statement goes like this. Now, all day you can go over to your friend's animal and start bowing down to your friend's animal. Is it going to become a chefza shel avodah zarah? And the answer, of course, is no. Ein adam oser davar she'eino shlo. A person cannot oser something that does not belong to him. That's true, however. Asra b'maisa asra. But once you do an action to that animal, so now you have rendered and changed its status. Now, to give you a very simple example of like how else you could see this play out, it's really simple in the following example. Let's say my friend now is cooking his meat, and I come over with some milk and I pour milk into the pot in which he's cooking meat in. So now, you know, even though I poured milk into it, but it doesn't really become basar b'chalav because it wasn't my meat. And you know, I can't ask for something that doesn't belong to me. Now, all of us smiles and laughs, and we all know, of course, that's not true. Meaning, what I just created was basar b'chalav. I wasn't mine. Oh, yeah, that's true, it's not mine. And it's true, I had no right to do that. But of course, it physically changes. It mamish becomes now basar b'chalav. That's an easy example, and that's one we can all see very clearly, because the item physically changes. Over here, however, it is not as straightforward as the example I just gave. Because over here, it's true I did a maisa, but it's not just the maisa by itself that's causing the change, it's the maisa with my machshava, meaning I'm shechting it for avodah zarah, and it wasn't mine. And still, what Ul is teaching us, what Rav Huna is teaching us, is that once you do a maisa, so that's it now, I've made it into a takrovitz of avodah zarah, and I've changed its status.
But the maisa didn't say it had a machshava, he just said it did. Huh? He didn't say he had a machshava.
Well, if he didn't have... without a machshava, without a machshava, it's just shechita.
I didn't say it.
I hear you. Right. But if you don't have a machshava, so then we're just...
Well, no, that's the reason, because he did it right in front of the avodah zarah, so... It sounds like
somebody has to have a machshava. Without a machshava, it's not a avodah zarah. Okay, so but I do understand your point. But still, I mean, there has to be a machshava. And we just in yesterday's daf went over, you know, whose machshava is more significant. It's obviously the shochet.
It was because the idol was there.
Right.
That's the implication.
Okay, fine. Okay. Eisvei Rav Nachman leRav Huna. And so now for the rest of today's daf. And a good part of tomorrow's daf, so a discussion of this very concept. Where even though, if it's something that does not belong to me, and under normal circumstances, ein adam oser davar she'eino shlo, I cannot change the status of your item if I didn't physically manipulate it. But once I do a physical manipulation of your item, So then I do have the ability and power to change it. Now, parenthetically, I'm sure everyone here is wondering, what about any kind of monetary liability do I have? Meaning if I go over to your animal and I shecht it for avodah zarah, and I, in fact, change the status to avodah zarah, so am I going to be liable? Well, it gets a little bit complicated. Well, first of all, obviously, because I took the animal which was alive and rendered it dead, so obviously that was a loss. But you also have to take into account that even though it's a loss, it may not be a total loss because it is a shechted animal, but now take into consideration that because I just changed its status to takrovus avodah zarah, so what is its value currently right now? Zero. The value of the item is zero. So I took something which was valued at whatever it was valued at, I brought it down to zero, so that means now that I'm a mazik. On the other hand, also you have to take into consideration that what's the hezek? The hezek is that it's a status change, but it's not something that's physically visible. So it's a hezek shein nicker. All I can tell you right now is on the financial liability front, it can get complicated. So, and that's not going to be our focus for today.
It's not like stealing when someone steals something and does something to it, it becomes his and he has to compensate for it.
Yeah. It's like that, but again, there are a lot of variables that make it more complicated. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, good. Really important discussions, just it's not going to be the focus of the Gemara. So let's just stay with the Gemara right now. The idea that when you do a Maisa on somebody else's item, so that is going to change its status even though it's not yours. So Ezra Rav Nachman Rav Una Shochechatos B'Shabbos B'Chutzba La'avodos Kol Chav M'Chayiv Shalosh Chatos. So let's say the person over here is really swinging for the fences and he does a Shechita which results not in one Isur Kares, not in two Isur Kares, but he manages with one act of shechita to violate three Isur Kares. Okay, it depends on what his goal was for the day. But in other words, if his goal was to tack on the Isur Kares, so he did a good job. If his goal, of course, was to be a Baal Aveira and to distance himself from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so once again, he did a really good job. So so in this one act of shechita, a person could possibly be chayv three carbon chatzis. Now, to be clear, in other words, in order to be chayv a karban chatas, you have to do an action which, if done b'mezid, would result in isur kares. So over here, he didn't do a b'mezid, he did a b'shogeg. The point over here is something very simple, is that with one act of shechita, you could potentially be in violation of three separate isurim. And that is, the animal was a karban chatas, it was on Shabbos, and geographically you were outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And so by shechting it, the animal was a carbon chatas, it was on Shabbos, the animal was a carbon chatas, it was on Shabbos, you were outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and you shechted for Avodah Zarah. So under those circumstances, you're going to be chayav three chatos. Now, why three chatos? So let's ring them up. Meaning one, Shabbos violation. When you shecht an animal on Shabbos, that's one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos, and so therefore that's going to be a Shabbos violation. Two, is going to be Shchut Echutz. You took a carbon, you shecht it outside the Azara, that's a violation of the Torah, Shchut Echutz, that's an Isur Kares. And finally, three is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, if done b'mezid without Edom, is an Isur Kares. So this is also going to be their third Isur Kares. If all three of these actions are done, Bishogeg, so then the person is going to be chayev three carbon chatuses for that action. Okay. Now let's consider. So the Gemara says, here's what bothers me. You see, in the circumstance that we just laid out, so let's say that he took this animal and he started shechting it for Avodah Zarah. And also keep in mind that you have to remember at the same time, it was Shabbos and he was shechting it outside the Beis HaMikdash. But in other words, he shechted for Avodah Zarah. Now, do you remember the statement of Rav Huna? So the statement of Rav Huna is, I'm going to read it again. It's only going six lines up where we last left off. I'm Rav Huna. I say behemoth chaver revutz lofnei avodas kol chavim. Kevin sheshecha basiman echad asra. In other words, what kind of maisa do you have to do in order to render it the status of avodah zara? You don't have to complete the shechita. One siman would be enough. And let's all be honest with each other. You don't even need one siman. Meaning one siman over here just simply means any action that you do will render it now a takrovus avodah zarah. Interesting that for takrovus avodah zarah, you don't need to complete the shechita. You just simply need to do an action towards avodah zarah, and that now will render it takrovus avodah zarah. So the Gemara says now, if that's true, which Rav Huna says it is, so then all we have now walked into a significant problem, which is as follows. We just read a brisa together, and the brisa says that if you shecht a chatas on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah, you just got rung up for 3 Isurim, and if done b'shogeg, for 3 carbon chatases. Let's consider. 3 carbon chatases? So how did you get the 3 carbon chatases? Well, one, because it was Avodah Zarah. But you see now, here's the problem. According to Rav Huna, the moment you hit Siman Echad, so that's it now, it is Takrovas Avodah Zarah. It has the status of Takrovas Avodah Zarah. What is the animal now from this point going forward? Nothing. Halachically, it's nothing. It is the Gemara now is going to be describing as Afar Ba'alma. It's dirt. In other words, because it's Takrovas Avodah Zarah, so status-wise, it is zero. It's not an animal anymore. It's physically an animal, but it's not an animal. Any cutting that I do subsequent to that, it's not an act of shechita. So that means, so how could you be chayiv for Shabbos? How could you be chayiv for shechutei chutz?
Shabbos you can. It's
I'll ask the same question.
Just
shechutei chutz
you can.
Okay. Kevin shechach basiman shechutei chutz lo chayiv mechatech be'afer hu. So the as far as shechutei chutz is concerned, so it's not going to be aser. What about Shabbos? So let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi over here, Mechatech Bafer, who? Rashi on the top of Mem Amud Beis. They came in the Nesam, Misham Avodas Kochavim, Pakashim, Kachim, Yinav, Nasir, Shol Avodas Kochavim, Va'afra Ba'amo, He Vesula Mechayv Allah, Misham Shchut Echutz. So you're not going to be in violation of Shchut Echutz because to properly violate the Isser of Shchut Echutz, you have to shecht the animal outside the base of Mikdash, and it's no longer an act of Shechita. Now, the next part of Rashi, he's dealing with the Gemara that we learned earlier. Let's skip the next part of Rashi for now. It's important, but but Rashi makes a distinction. Ule Inyan Shabbos. Skip down in the Rashi to the last 5 lines of the Rashi. Ule Inyan Shabbos tichuyuve anitilas neshamahu demechayev afagav delav shchitahi. So Rashi says that as far as Shabbos is concerned, so what is the malacha on Shabbos? It's not shechita. It's netilas neshama. Meaning the malacha is called shechita, but the definition is netilas neshama. So, demechayv afagav delav shechita hi, v'chemishum avodas kochavim, deshechitas avodas kochavim hi. Avalein shechutechutz, lav shechitas kachem hi. Very good. So Rashi writes that as far as Shabbos is concerned, you are going to violate Shabbos because the malacha is shechita, but the iser is netilas neshama, which is in fact what you're doing. Taking the life away, which is what you're doing. So amar papa hacha b'chatas ofaskinan. So over here now, so what we're doing is we're trying to synthesize Rav Huna and the Braisa. Rav Huna says that once you shech siman echad, so you've rendered it takrovas avodah zarah. The Braisa says that it's possible to violate 3 Isurim simultaneously by shechting a chatas outside the base of Mikdash on Shabbos Hashem Avodah Zarah. But right now, those 2 statements cannot coexist. Rav Huna says that it becomes a Takrovas Avodah Zarah immediately. Once you hit the first siman, and again, not even. Okay? And meanwhile, how are then you violating the other Isurim? And really, the focus of the question is on Shechut Echutz. And the Gemara's answer is Amar Papa Bechatas Haofaskin and Dekula Bahada Adadikasu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case over here under discussion is that it wasn't just Stam a Karban, but it was a Chatas. Now we didn't need Rav Papa for that. In fact, if you read the Braisa, it said Chatas in the Braisa. But what we gain now from Rav Papa is the following: it wasn't just any Chatas; it was a Chatas bird. Chatas bird, you only need to cut 1 siman. Now you're doing the act of shechita. This part gets a little bit confusing. Okay, it always gets a little bit confusing because if we're talking about a bird now, isn't malika required? And so here, once we're talking about shechut echutz by a bird, so everything gets inverted. Meaning, because you're outside the base of mikdash, so in order to violate shechut echutz, you don't do malika, you do shechita.
If it's doing shechita, like, how could it be
just stay with me. Everything I just said is Rashi, so I'm comfortable right now. So I'm in good shape. So everything gets inverted outside. So it is the shechita act of the chatas oaf that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, which would bring about the violation of shechut echot. Fine. So now that we're here, so now, seemingly, we can now synthesize everything. We have Rav Huna that says that once you shech one siman, so that you've rendered it takorvus avodah zarah. And also there's a Shabbos violation, and also there's a shechut echot violation because it's a chatas bird. But the Gemara says, but still, it's good, but not good enough. So the Gemara says, michte. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. Rav Huna keman amr l'shmaite ke'ula. Ve'ula maise kol dehu kama. Remember on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, the Rav Huna was put together along with Ula. Meaning, if you go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf, first we had the statement to Rav Huna, so that was Siman Echad, but then the Gemara immediately launched into Savar Laki Hada Amar Ula Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara put together Rav Huna and Ula. What did Ula say? Afa Pisha Amar Mishachav Alabeim Es Chaver Lo Asra Asaba Maisa Asra. A single action can make it Asr. A single action means you don't even need a full Siman. Even just part of a simon. Okay. So now, even with our answer, the answer is insufficient. It's a good answer, but it's insufficient. Because now, even as a chatzas bird, when does it become takrovus avodah zarah? You don't even need to get to the full simon. You cut part of the first simon, and it's already takrovus avodah zarah. And again now, how could you be violating shechut echot if already it's takrovus avodah zarah?
Why do you say part? If for a bird, one is sufficient and considered the...
That's for Shechut Echutz. But for Avodah Zarah, you don't even need Siman Echad. Even part of Siman Echad is going to make it Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Ela ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu ovda. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to try to give an ukimta. So the Gemara says, well, the ukimta is that you're reserving your Avodah Zarah machshava until the Gemara Shechita. Okay, it's an ukimta. So the Gemara says, okay, ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu ovda. Yehachi ma'yir chatas lishmin zevach. If that's the ukimta of the Braisa, so then let me ask you a simple question. Why is the Braisa talking about specifically the carbon of a chatas? It can now be any carbon. If you're reserving your machshava avodah zarah only at the gemar shechita, so then it could just simply, what the Braisa should just simply say is carbon, any carbon. So, Ela amar mazutra mishmei dera papa hachim b'maiskin k'gon sh'ayachati kanapagam v'hosif alea kol shehu v'gamro dekula b'hadi adadi ka'asyan. So the Gemara gives a wonderful ukimta. Meaning it is talking about the chatas bird, and you are shechting it outside of the base of Mikdash. And what would be the circumstance in which you do a Maisa Kol Shehu, and you're going to get rung up for all three? The following. A case that we've gone over numerous times. The windpipe is already half opened. Now the windpipe is half open, and interestingly enough, as we've said over numerous times throughout this Masechta, the animal is not yet a trefa. Now for a bird, what do you need to shecht in order for the shechita to be good shechita? The majority of one siman. So now that the windpipe is half open, so all you need to do is just make the smallest little cut at the windpipe. So you get now from 50 to 51%, and now that is a shechita. And it's a maisa kol dehu. And it's the tilas neshama. So under those circumstances where it's chatzik hanipagam, and then you make a small incision, so now that would be an ukimta where you can get rung up for all three activities. Good. It's a good ukimta. Amar apapa yilav da amar avhuna simen echa lo hav yachatas tiyufta. My Maisa, Maisa Rabba. Now, the Gemara, I'm sorry. Rav Papa says, had it not been for Rav Huna, who said Siman Echad, so the Chata scenario would not have been challenging. Because we could have just simply said that. What is Maisa? Maisa means Maisa Rabba. The Amar Rav Papa, Yilav, the Amar Rav Huna, Behemoth Chavero. Now, another thing Rav Papa knows about Rav Huna and the significance of Rav Huna's statement is Behemoth Chavero. Had Rav Huna not said Behemoth Chavero, and all I had was the Braisa regarding the Chatas, I would have said, okay, but you know what? Even though it's the Chatas, and even though it's the Karban, and even though, who does it belong to? The answer is not you. We could have made an argument that even though you're not the owner of a Karban, but you're kind of the owner of the Karban. Why? So, I'm sorry, have you Chatas? Do you have to my time? Did they Matzi Aser? The Chavero Matzi Aser? Pshita. So, Mao Detema came into Kanile Le Kapara Kidide Damya. Kamash Malan. You see, even though a carbon, what's your relationship with a carbon? It's always a really interesting relationship. Is a carbon yours? Absolutely not. Can you use it for any kind of personal benefit?
No.
The answer, of course, is no. That's an Isra Me'ila. So it's not yours. On the other hand, by you bringing the carbon, it's providing you a kapara. So your relationship with a carbon is always it's a funny tension. It's not yours, but it's yours. Whose carbon is that? Well, it's mine. Meaning ownership? No. Now, of course not. Meaning it belongs to the Mizbech. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. In terms of kapara, oh yeah, that's mine. So because of this tension that exists, one could make the argument that if all I had was a brisa, so the brisa is telling me that if I'm shechting a carbon chatas, I'm in violation of Shabbos and Shut Echus, and I can render it a takrovis of Avodah Zarah. But I could still make the argument, but it's mine. Meaning not in the sense of, I don't have ownership of it, I can't get hana from it, but still, it's mine. If all I had was a brisa, I wouldn't have gone so far as what Rav Huna said. What Rav Huna said is, if the animal mamish is owned by somebody else, and I shechted it, I can't render a takrovas of Avodah Zarah if all I had was the brisa. Because the brisa is talking about a carbon, which I can argue that it's mine. Again, with a limited definition of what mine means. Good. What Rav Huna, therefore, is coming to teach us is, no. Even if it's mamish, not yours at all, it mamish belongs to somebody else, still, with a maisa, I can render a takrovas of Avodah Zarah. Let's recap today. Today we learned the Mishnah about shechting towards the mountains and other gods, lowercase g. Under those circumstances, the shechita is no good. No good. Why didn't the Mishnah say zivchei mesim? So the technicality of worshipping a mountain versus worshipping the god of a mountain. And then the big part of today's daf, the big discussion today's daf, is offering something that does not belong to you. According to Rav Huna and Ula, when you shecht an animal that does not belong to you, once you do a maisa in that, so then you have made it asr, even though in other most of is shalom, but with a maisa you could change the status of somebody else. We try to synthesize the statement of Rav Huna in conjunction with a brisa about shechting a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash le'avodah zarah on Shabbos, and we ended up synthesizing the two. The two statements can coexist. Tomorrow's daf, we'll see the other Amoraim. Other Amoraim disagree fundamentally with Ula and Rav Huna. You can't aser davar she'eino shelo, even with a maisa. Le'ilu nishmat.